Can I take your order?
I'll have coffee, eggs, and hash browns.
You want a side order of Nick with that?
Yeah, I think I will.
Good Sunday morning, Ottawa. It's time to top up your Java and join the discussion on Sunnyside Nick. The numbers to call, 613-521-TALK. That's 521-8255. Toll free, 1-800-580-CFRA. Email nick@cfra.com. Well, it looks like your order's ready. Here's 580-CFRA's Nick.
Good morning. Spring has sprung. It's getting warmer. March is the coldest March, the month we just came out of, is the coldest March since 1944. So much for global warming, I suppose. You know, I was looking over the news this morning and yesterday, getting ready for today's show. And at one point, I was so frustrated and so angry at the way things were going that you almost want to throw. You ever see somebody just lose it and papers go flying and they stomp out? Well, that's kind of the way I felt, because everywhere you turn, there's another infringement on your rights. There is another attack on your wallet. And it's always under the guise of some well-meaning, well-intentioned plan or idea, usually from the left. Matter of fact, almost always from the left. And I just hit the ceiling. I'd had enough. So what I decided to do, there's an old movie called The Cowboys by John Wayne. And I thought, I haven't seen that in a long time. And it's a great movie. It's a little rough around the edges from, if you care about political correctness, there's some terms and language in it that isn't, we wouldn't use in polite conversation today, but it was made back in, 1969, 1970, somewhere in there anyway. And the attitudes were just in the movie are the attitudes of that were prevalent just after the Civil War in the United States, because that's when the movie is set. And there's a couple of great scenes in it. And I'm watching this thinking, I really miss John Wayne. I really do. And I began to think about people in today's world and how gray and pasty they are and how much of a facade they are. And I'm talking about leaders, and I'm talking about people who step up and want your vote of any particular political stripe. I mean, can you imagine Winston Churchill with a snifter of brandy in one hand and a cigar in the other becoming Prime Minister of Canada? Just not going to happen. And think of what we would have lost had Winston been around today. We never would have had, 1972 was the year The Cowboys was made. That's Phil in there keeping me on track. But the bottom line is that because we have made it so difficult to be colorful, to be have some character, like look at the way that people like Don Cherry, Randy Hillier, I'm just picking colorful people out of the background and say whenever they stand up and say something, they're pilloried for having an opinion, for standing up for something, getting out of line, all these things. And I began to realize that if we want people like Winston Churchill, Ronald Reagan, Pope John Paul, John Wayne, the characters that he portrayed, he was just an actor, but the Duke, the characters that he portrayed in many of his 250 movies, then I think we really need to be those kinds of people. We need to stand up and do the things and say the things that we want our leaders to do. Because if there is no one on the scene willing to do what it takes, then there's only one other person. That's you. That's me. You have to stand up and say, okay, this far and no farther. You have to be a Gandalf in the depths of the mountain standing up against a Balrog. You shall not pass. And we have to start acting courageous if we want courageous leadership. I think far too many people sell themselves short. They think, I could never do that. What difference can one man make? What difference can I be? Well, that old story about the old man and the young boy on the shore after the storm, right? Where the old man's walking down the beach, and one by one, there's been this huge storm, and there's literally millions of starfish been washed up on the shore. And he's throwing them back into the ocean one at a time. And the little boy says to him, old man, what are you doing? You'll never save all these starfish. What difference can you make? And the old man looked into his hand, and he saw the one laying there that he had, and he threw it back in the water. And he said, it sure made a difference to that one, didn't it? You see, you might not be able to change the world, but you can change your world by just being the kind of leader that you want in your life. If you want a strong political leader, if you want good, sound leadership, then provide it. Be it. Study the people who have done what you admire and learn from them. I've got a short clip here. It's about a minute and a half. And this, I think, is the best John Wayne quote ever given. It's very simple. There's nothing. This is not Winston Churchill, but it is John Wayne.
I'm going to tell you something, Flacca, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere. When I come down here to Texas, I was looking for something. I didn't know what. It seems like you add up my life and I'd spend it all either stomping other men or, in some cases, getting stomped. Had me some money and had me some medals. But none of it seemed a lifetime worth the pain of the mother that bore me. It was like I was empty. Well, I'm not empty anymore. That's what's important. To feel useful in this old world. To hit a lick against what's wrong or to say a word for what's right, even though you get walloped for saying that word. Now, I may sound like a Bible beater yelling up a revival at a river crossing camp meeting, but that don't change the truth none. There's right and there's wrong. You gotta do one or the other. You do the one and you're living. You do the other and you may be walking around, but you're dead as a beaver hat.
Over easy, but not too soft. Sunnyside Nick on News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.
Okay, I'm going to get the phones in just a second, but I was just listening to one of the commercials that Mr. Ignatieff graced us with, and he talked about how Stephen Harper doesn't support democracy, especially here at home. And then it occurred to me that whether or not that's true, the liberals don't either. Who was it that made kissy face and nicey-nicey with Mr. Muammar Gaddafi? Oh, that's right. It was Paul Martin. And who is it that we are now trying to get rid of in Libya at risk flying, putting our men at arms at risk, flying 30-year-old airplanes that Mr. Ignatieff doesn't want to replace, even though he's already invested hundreds of millions of dollars in? You know, if you leave these guys alone long enough, they will hang themselves. It's just, I was listening to that and I just shaking my head. I couldn't believe it. All right. Josie from Montreal has called us and I want to bring her up first. Good morning, Josie.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, ma'am. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
Okay, I'm speaking for the English speakers in Quebec. We're totally fed up with the discriminatory Bill 101, and we've decided to fight back.
Good.
And we set up a committee, a Greater Montreal Multi-Ethnic Territory Committee, to abolish Bill 101, in which we'll be having a rally on April 17, 2011, at noon at the McGill Roddick Gates in Montreal, 1001 Sherbrooke Street West. And at the same time, this rally will be taking place also across Canada.
Okay, now let me just, this is the language law?
Yes.
And it's the one that, is that also include, no, the sign,
it includes everything.
Okay,
it
so that's the sign law and all that law. Stuff? Okay. Josie, will you send me an email after the show or, you know, once you've finished on the phone here?
Yes.
Okay, my email address is nick@night@cfra.com.
Nick@night, N-I-T-E, N-I-G-H-T.
Nick, N-I-C-K-A-T-N-I-G-H-T.
Okay.
Okay, at CFRA.com.
Okay.
I got something I want to send you, that's all.
All right.
All right?
Okay.
All right, give us the location again of when that rally is.
Oh, okay, the rally is going to be held on April 17, 2011 at noon.
Right.
At the McGill University at the Roddick Gates, right at the entrance.
All right. And I appreciate that because this is one of the most draconian bills in Canada, and it needs to die. And I'm glad that somebody's standing up and taking that on.
And also, I'd also like to discuss how the Quebec police ignores the minorities here. We've had, like, death threats being sent to our executive members of the committee, and they're not being taken seriously. The person is not being charged.
Okay, here's a little piece of advice. First of all, it's very dangerous, and I'm not being negative. I'm going to give you some concrete advice here in a second. But it's unless you actually have to just talk about things that have done without a police investigation go with it is risky on the radio. But here's what I would suggest. If you have death threats and if you know who is issuing them and the police will not ask, will not charge this individual, then you can have a lawyer do it. Just because the police won't charge somebody doesn't mean it can't be done.
Okay.
Okay? So go and talk to a lawyer and let them know what's happened. Bring the evidence with you. Show it to him, a criminal lawyer, and say, is there a possibility that you or we could charge this individual with this crime because the police will not act?
Okay.
Okay.
But the thing is that we, the evidence is there.
Yeah.
We have gone to the lawyer.
Yeah.
But we're just being warned.
You're just being warned.
Ignored. Ignored.
By the lawyer?
No, by the police.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. The lawyer can do what the police won't. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay, so that's what you're trying to do. If the police will not lay the charges, and you have a legitimate, if you feel legitimately threatened by this, you can.
Well, it's not me.
I'm talking about your group.
Members.
I'm talking about your group. So member of your executive, whoever it is. Okay? You don't have to sit back and take this. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Okay.
So see, and I'm no lawyer, go talk to the lawyer about this, but take your evidence to the lawyer and see if under Quebec law, you can have the lawyer lay the charges the police will not lay.
All right.
Okay?
All right.
You don't need to sit back and take this. There are methods and avenues open to you. Thanks for your call, Josie, and send me that email, okay?
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
Okay, have a nice day.
You too. Bye-bye. Yeah, there's no reason if the police won't do the job. I know in Ontario that you can have that done. I'm just curious. I think it's the same in Quebec, too. And it would make sense. If the police are ignoring you, you have to have some kind of recourse. Steve in Ottawa, good morning.
Morning, Nick. I wanted to speak on a couple of things.
Sure.
Now, Michael Ignatieff is talking about conservatives not on the international stage. This is totally untrue. I think Harper has been more on the international stage. You just have to look at what he's done and how he stepped up at the G8, our mission in Afghanistan. And I would like to say what I fear, and another reason why I am voting conservative, is if we were to get a liberal or coalition government in power, the ramifications towards Israel would be unbelievable.
Well, listen, let's make sure that people understand that if there's a Tory minority, we will end up with a coalition.
We will, and the staunch support that Israel receives from Harper and the Conservatives, which I must say is lacking throughout the world, and sadly now even from America, because Barack Obama does not support Israel.
Well, he you know who the leader of the free world is right now? It ain't Obama.
It's
Nicolas
not.
Sarkozy.
Yes, and to a lesser extent, our prime minister.
Well, he plays a very important supporting role, no doubt about it.
But this is one of the things. And another thing I'd like to touch on, if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
I was listening to Rob Snow yesterday afternoon, or I'm sorry, I believe it was Wednesday afternoon, and he had the councillors on about the green bin. And you know, they wouldn't give a proper answer. And Marianne Wilkinson, my God, saying that less trucks would mean less greenhouse gases, and the school kids could go home and, you know, basically let their parents know what this is all about. It is unbelievable. But even worse is Maria McCrae. This woman is out of control, I think, right now.
I'm going to deal with them in just a minute when I'm finished with your call, but go ahead. I won't steal your thumb.
Going through garbage and pulling out somebody's, I believe it's utility bill, is none of her business.
Exactly.
And this is not only disgusting, but outrageous. These people are out of control. And you get what you reap, unfortunately.
Well,
and these people, again, have been put into power.
Well, look, I don't want to say that and in general, I'm speaking not to you specifically, but in general, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so. That coming up to this last election, I beat the airwaves every time I was on the air saying you have to change philosophy, not just nameplates.
I know you did. And one other quick thing, say what you want about this guy, but he stirs things up, and that's Donald Trump.
Does he ever? Can you imagine him as president? Oh, my God.
Colorful.
Thanks.
Thank you, Nick.
Yep. Yeah, colorful is right. And that, I guess that kind of goes back to what I was talking about earlier, about, you know, every time someone with a little color and depth to their character stands up and says, this is what I believe and this is what I think we ought to do, we pillory them for it. It's just incredible. Anyway, now, okay. I have been frothing at the mouth over this ever since I found out yesterday. All right. First, this. The city believes a 3.9% increase to water bills this year will help fix water mains, prevent basement flooding, and reduce the amount of sewage spilling into the Ottawa River. My, that's a pretty big deal for a 3.9% increase, don't you think? I don't know how it's going to keep raw sewage from flowing over the river when they haven't fixed the problem in the first place. How's another 3.9% going to do it? But that's a different issue. But a capped property tax increase could limit the city when it comes to water and sewer upgrades requiring extensive roadwork. Money will be tight in the tax-supported budget, as if there was any other kind of federal, provincial, or public budget. Since council is committed to maintaining a 2.5% property tax increase in each of its 4 years, stimulus funding ends this year as well. Okay, so they've hit the same wall they hit every time. They spend all that you send them, then they spend more, then they count on stimulus spending, and when that's all gone, then they have to raise the water rates. It's just they never think about, okay, what can we do to control spending? The attitude is, what do we need to do to get out to get more money out of your pocket? So they take your bill, your municipal bill, and they pull out of it the water bill. It's the oldest shell game in the world. Well, that's not on your tax. That's not your taxes. That's your water bill. Hey, have you forgotten that every time money the government sticks its hand in your pocket and pulls money out, it's taxes? You can call it what you want. It's like saying, well, that's a deluxe pizza, therefore it's not a pizza. And that's a Hawaiian pizza, therefore it's not a real pizza. It's still a freaking pizza. All right. The hike rate means an extra $23.66 for our customer using 48,400 gallons of water a year. A similar increase is expected each year through to 2014. Now, the reason why I rail about this is because guess what else they're doing? They are bringing out fancy new water meters with an eye on moving you to time of use, just like they did with hydro. Now, did you vote for that? I don't think so. Who's got the hidden agenda? Time of use on your water consumption? You've already paid for it. What do you think the water bill's for? What do you think your municipal taxes are for? And now they're going to say, well, you're using too much water at 8 o'clock in the morning or at 5 o'clock at night. Therefore, you have to pay God knows what for how much water. Folks, this is an intrusion on your rights. They're trampling all over you. Now, if you want to do something about it, here's what you can do. Guess what's coming up? We have, Crown Land Grant patents and your property rights. Yeah, where have you heard this before? On Saturday, April 16th, 2011, at 1 p.m. at the Carlton Place Arena, 75 Neyland Street, the Lanark Landowners Association, remember those evil people? Yeah. Is presenting an afternoon of questions and answers with Liz Marshall of the Ontario Landowners Association, Canada's leading expert on Crown Land Grant patent grants. You may have already heard Liz interviewed here on the radio station. Joining Liz in her presentation are Scott Reed, federal MP, and Randy Hillier, provincial MPP for Lanark, Frontenac, Lennox, and Addington. These two elected champions of the people will explain how property rights can be made part of the Canadian Charter. Did you know you have no clear title to your property? It goes on, but the point is, coming up on April 16th, you can actually go and hear how you can defend yourself against this kind of stuff. We'll take a break and talk to Gus right after this on Sunnyside Nick, 521-8255.
Over easy, but not too soft. Sunnyside Nick on News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.
Okay, I'm going to get the phones in just a second, but I was just listening to one of the commercials that Mr. Ignatieff graced us with, and he talked about how Stephen Harper doesn't support democracy, especially here at home. And then it occurred to me that whether or not that's true, the Liberals don't either. Who was it that made kissy face and nicey-nicey with Mr. Muammar Gaddafi? Oh, that's right. It was Paul Martin. And who is it that we are now trying to get rid of in Libya at risk flying, putting our men-at-arms at risk, flying 30-year-old airplanes that Mr. Ignatieff doesn't want to replace, even though he's already invested hundreds of millions of dollars in? You know, if you leave these guys alone long enough, they will hang themselves. It's just, I was listening to that and I just shaking my head. I couldn't believe it. All right. Josie from Montreal has called us and I want to bring her up first. Good morning, Josie.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, ma'am. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
Okay. I'm speaking for the English speakers in Quebec. We're totally fed up with the discriminatory Bill 101 and we've decided to fight back.
Good.
And we set up a committee, a Greater Montreal Multi-Ethnic Territory Committee, to abolish Bill 101, in which we'll be having a rally on April 17, 2011, at noon at the McGill-Roddick Gates in Montreal, 1001 Sherbrooke Street West. And at the same time, this rally will be taking place also across Canada.
Okay, now let me just, this is the language law?
Yes.
And it's the one that, is that also include, no, the sign,
It includes everything.
Okay,
it
so that's the sign law
the
and all that
law.
Stuff? Okay. Josie, will you send me an email after the show or, you know, once you've finished on the phone here?
Yes.
Okay. My email address is nick@night@cfra.com.
Nick@night@cfra.com?
No, N-I-G-H-T. Nick, N-I-C-K-A-T-N-I-G-H-T.
Okay.
Okay. @cfra.com.
Okay.
I got something I want to send you. That's all.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Give us the location again of when that rally is.
Oh, okay. The rally is going to be held on April 17, 2011 at noon.
Right.
At the McGill University at the Roddick Gates, right at the entrance.
All right. And I appreciate that because this is one of the most draconian bills in Canada and it needs to die. And I'm glad that somebody's standing up and taking that on.
And also, I'd also like to discuss how the Quebec police ignores the minorities here. We've had like death threats being sent to our executive members of the committee. And they're not being taken seriously. The person is not being charged.
Okay, here's a little piece of advice. First of all, it's very dangerous, and I'm not being negative. I'm going to give you some concrete advice here in a second. But it's unless you actually have to just talk about things that have done without a police investigation go with it is risky on the radio. But here's what I would suggest. If you have death threats, and if you know who is issuing them, and the police will not ask, will not charge this individual, then you can have a lawyer do it. Just because the police won't charge somebody doesn't mean it can't be done.
Okay.
Okay? So go and talk to a lawyer and let them know what's happened. Bring the evidence with you. Show it to him, a criminal lawyer, and say, is there a possibility that you or we could charge this individual with this crime because the police will not act?
Okay.
Okay?
But the thing is that the evidence is there.
Yeah.
We have gone to the lawyer.
Yeah.
But we're just being warned.
You're just being warned.
Ignored.
Oh,
ignored.
By the lawyer?
No, by the police.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. The lawyer can do what the police won't. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay, so that's what you're trying to do. If the police will not lay the charges, and you have a if you feel legitimately threatened by this, you can...
Well, it's not me.
I'm talking about your group.
Members.
I'm talking about your group. So a member of your executive, whoever it is. Okay? You don't have to sit back and take this. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Okay.
So see, and I'm no lawyer, go talk to the lawyer about this, but take your evidence to the lawyer and see if under Quebec law, you can have the lawyer lay the charges the police will not lay.
All right.
Okay?
All right.
You don't need to sit back and take this. There are methods and avenues open to you. Thanks for your call, Josie, and send me that email, okay?
Yes, I will.
Thank
you. Okay, have a nice day.
You too. Bye-bye. Yeah, there's no reason if the police won't do the job. I know in Ontario that you can have that done. I'm just curious. I think it's the same in Quebec, too. And it would make sense. If the police are ignoring you, you have to have some kind of recourse. Steve in Ottawa, good morning.
Morning, Nick. I wanted to speak on a couple of things.
Sure.
Now, Michael Ignatieff is talking about conservatives not on the international stage. This is totally untrue. I think Harper has... and more on the international stage. So you just have to look at what he's done and how he stepped up at the G8, our mission in Afghanistan. And I would like to say what I fear, and one of the reasons, another reason why I am voting conservative, is if we were to get a liberal or coalition government in power, the ramifications towards Israel would be unbelievable.
Well, listen, let's make sure that people understand that if there's a Tory minority, we will end up with a coalition.
We will, and the support, the staunch support that Israel receives from Harper and the Conservatives, which I must say is lacking throughout the world, and sadly now even from America, because Barack Obama does not support Israel.
Well, you know who the leader of the free world is right now? It ain't Obama. It's Nicolas Sarkozy.
Yes, and to a lesser extent, our prime minister.
Well, he plays a very important supporting role, no doubt about it.
But this is one of the things. And another thing I'd like to touch on, if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
I was listening to Rob Snow yesterday afternoon, or I'm sorry, I believe it was Wednesday afternoon, and he had the councillors on about the green bin. And, you know, they wouldn't give a proper answer. And Marianne Wilkinson, my God, saying that less trucks would mean less greenhouse gases, and the school kids could go home and, you know, basically let their parents know what this is all about. It is unbelievable. But even worse is Maria McCrae. This woman is out of control, I think, right now.
I'm going to deal with them in just a minute when I'm finished with your call, but go ahead. I won't steal your thunder.
Going through garbage and pulling out somebody's, I believe it's utility bill, is none of her business.
Exactly.
And this is not only disgusting, but outrageous. These people are out of control, and you get what you reap, unfortunately.
Well,
and these people again have been put into power.
Well, look, I don't want to say that and in general, I'm speaking not to you specifically, but in general, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so. That coming up to this last election, I beat the airwaves every time I was on the air saying you have to change philosophy, not just nameplates.
I know you did. And one other quick thing, say what you want about this guy, but he stirs things up, and that's Donald Trump.
Does he ever? Can you imagine him as president? Oh, my God.
Colorful.
Thanks.
Thank you, Nick.
Yep. Yeah, colorful is right. And that, I guess that kind of goes back to what I was talking about earlier, about, you know, every time someone with a little color and depth to their character stands up and says, this is what I believe and this is what I think we ought to do, we pillory them for it. It's just incredible. Anyway, now, okay. I have been frothing at the mouth over this ever since I found out yesterday. All right. First, this. The city believes a 3.9% increase to water bills this year will help fix water mains, prevent basement flooding, and reduce the amount of sewage spilling into the Ottawa River. My, that's a pretty big deal for a 3.9% increase, don't you think? I don't know how it's going to keep raw sewage from flowing over the river when they haven't fixed the problem in the first place. How's another 3.9% going to do it? But that's a different issue. But a capped property tax increase could limit the city when it comes to water and sewer upgrades requiring extensive road work. Money will be tight in the tax-supported budget, as if there was any other kind of federal, provincial, or public budget. But since council is committed to maintaining a 2.5% property tax increase in each of its 4 years, stimulus funding ends this year as well. Okay, so they've hit the same wall they hit every time. They spend all that you send them, then they spend more, then they count on stimulus spending, and when that's all gone, then they have to raise the water rates. It's just, they never think about, okay, what can we do to control spending? The attitude is, what do we need to do to get out, to get more money out of your pocket? So they take your bill, your municipal bill, and they pull out of it the water bill. It's the oldest shell game in the world. Well, that's not on your tax. That's not your taxes. That's your water bill. Hey, have you forgotten that every time money, the government sticks its hand in your pocket and pulls money out, it's taxes? You can call it what you want. It's like saying, well, that's a deluxe pizza, therefore it's not a pizza. And that's a Hawaiian pizza, therefore it's not a real pizza. It's still a freaking pizza. All right. The hike rate means an extra $23.66 for our customer using 48,400 gallons of water a year. A similar increase is expected each year through to 2014. Now, the reason why I rail about this is because guess what else they're doing? They are bringing out fancy new water meters with an eye on moving you to time of use, just like they did with hydro. Now, did you vote for that? I don't think so. Who's got the hidden agenda? time of use on your water consumption? You've already paid for it. What do you think the water bill's for? What do you think the your municipal taxes are for? And now they're going to say,
well, you're using too much water at 8 o'clock in the morning or at 5 o'clock at night. Therefore, you have to pay God knows what for how much water.
Folks, this is an intrusion on your rights. They're trampling all over you. Now, if you want to do something about it, here's what you can do. Guess what's coming up? We have, Crown Land Grant Patents and Your Property Rights. Yeah, where have you heard this before? On Saturday, April 16th, 2011, at 1 p.m. at the Carlton Place Arena, 75 Neyland Street, the Lanark Landowners Association, remember those evil people? Yeah. Is presenting an afternoon of questions and answers with Liz Marshall of the Ontario Landowners Association, Canada's leading expert on Crown Land Grant Patent Grants. You may have already heard Liz interviewed here on the radio station. Joining Liz in her presentation are Scott Reed, federal MP, and Randy Hillier, provincial MPP for Lanark, Frontenac, Lennox, and Addington. These two elected champions of the people will explain how property rights can be made part of the Canadian Charter. Did you know you have no clear title to your property? It goes on, but the point is, coming up on April 16th, you can actually go and hear how you can defend yourself against this kind of stuff. We'll take a break and talk to Gus right after this on Sunnyside Nick, 521-8255.
Over easy, but not too soft. Sunnyside Nick on News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.
All right, let's get to Ken in Prescott. He's been waiting a while, and I appreciate his patience. Morning, Ken.
Hello, Nick.
Hi.
About the F-35.
Yes.
First thing, I think Harbour should maybe cut that in half. I think he wants to buy, what, 65?
Yeah.
I would buy 35. The reason why is, you know, if you're in the service, the most thing you're feared of is something that you can't see that's shooting at you.
Right.
Like a sniper, you can't see him. Everybody dreads that. And if any plane now that the any armed forces buy now is going to be out of date. Going to be because everybody's going to be going to stealth fighters.
Well, here's a couple of things. First of all, if you're going to cut the number in half, you might as well not do it at all because 35 just isn't enough. When you set aside a certain amount for training, a certain amount are going to be down for servicing at any one time. That leaves you with about a dozen to cover the whole country. That's about one for every territory and province. That's just not enough.
Well, you know, if you can't see one,
no, I understand that.
No.
But the stealth, just because it's stealthy doesn't mean it's invisible, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
And who knows what new technology is going to break to throw away all that stealth technology anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, if you remember back in the Falklands, in the Balkans War, they shot down a B-2, the Delta Wing invisible jet?
Yeah.
Said, hey, didn't know you were there, sorry about that.
Yeah.
And they had a big party about it. So it's no guarantee. The thing about this is this probably will be the last generation of manned fighters. With the advancement in drone technologies, you're going to see aircraft, like we're already seeing drones being used in many missions now, that keep people out of the firing line. Now, in one hand, I like that because I don't want to see anybody, you know, wearing our uniform coming home in a body bag because he had to do a dangerous mission. On the other hand, I don't like that because that removes the human element and the one, the biggest roadblock to using armed force until all resources, all other avenues have been exhausted because you're going to get some of your own people killed.
Well, you see, I'm just scared if the Liberals get in there, they'll probably buy some MiG-25s because the Russians will give them a good deal on it.
Well, yeah, and I know I tried to make that point with Gus. I'm not interested in Russian hardware.
But, you know, every time the Liberals been in, I was in Germany in 59 and we did a NATO scheme. So after the NATO scheme was over, everybody had to pull off the road and they sent each of the units back, like the Germans went back. I sat there for 3 hours watching German armored personnel carriers go by,
right.
Mobile artillery,
yep.
Tanks and everything else.
Yep.
And guess what I was sitting in? A 3/4-ton truck. We were pretending we were APCs.
Yeah, that
really
we don't
nice,
want to return
we
to those
beat these guys.
We don't want to return to those days.
Well, you know, really, I mean, it was just unbelievable,
yeah.
And we beat these guys.
Of course, it's not a question of who the best soldiers are. It's a question of if you give the best soldiers the best equipment, then you give yourself the best chance of success.
Yeah.
But really, I think the F-35 has some big question marks around it. I don't think it should be an election breaker. I think Ignatieff, you know, like they were blasting Harper for speaking of a much greater threat to democracy, which is this accord. They won't call it a coalition, but they'll call it an accord. If Harper brings back a minority government, within a few days it'll be gone, and there will be an accord between the three, the devil in the deep blue sea. There you've got Duceppe, Leighton, and Ignatieff. Will steal away the victory from Mr. Harper and put in a coalition government. Make no mistake of that.
Harper has given us enough modern equipment right now that could probably last us for 20 years as long as he just upgrading.
Don't ever take that attitude.
As long as he keeps upgrading.
Okay, all right. So an ongoing procurement process.
Yeah, I mean, we can, instead of waiting to the last, and then Harper had to come in, and how many billions of dollars did he have to spend to save people's lives in Afghanistan?
Yeah, I know. This is why military, you have to keep modernizing your military all the time. Ken, I got to stop you there.
Okay,
appreciate
thank
the call.
You, bye.
Okay, I'm going to play this is a video, but there's enough audio that goes with it. This is Maria McCrae in your dump out at Trail Road going through the garbage. And if you haven't seen this video, I think it's on on the Sun news site. Go and check it out. But just listen to this. This is your counselor. This is what you're paying for. Go ahead and roll it.
This is shocking, eh? Well, there's paper.
Yep.
There's plastic bottles.
Yep.
So you got like a shampoo bottle,
yep,
a pop bottle. We got to do a better job getting people to use the blue box, because a lot of what's up here you can see is clearly plastics. Paper's going into garbage that should be going into the black box, and we get money for it. And the clothing and things, there has to be a way to talk about reusing. And then it's up to us to stop buying. Oh my gosh, it's all paper!
That which isn't can go into the green bin, right? That's the
LCBO bag, but recyclable nonetheless.
Here we go. Lots of material here.
You see that? Pop can. Easily to go in the...
Skip them off, but the label's off.
And that goes in the black box.
Yeah, that'll go in.
I'll take that.
Yeah, that goes there.
I find it very ironic that we're picking up paper that not only should be in the black box, but shredded, a City of Ottawa water bill.
Oh, you're going to do that?
And I won't show the address, but it is from somebody in my ward.
Maria, it's none of your business. Get out of the dump. Go back to council chambers and actually try to find ways to save core services. If you really want to deal with what's in the dump, put up an incinerator. Stop telling people how to run their lives. Recycling is a fraud and a scam. It doesn't work. It never did. It never will. The fact that you found proof of that should open your eyes to the fact it doesn't work. But are you going to do that? Probably not. Remember, folks, this is what you're paying for. This kind of intelligence. She thinks it's more important to go walking around Trail Road dump, picking up plastic, crushed plastic bottles, which should have been burned and turned into energy. But no, she wants you to get into using the green bin, the blue bin, the black bin, the yellow bin, the orange bin, the pink bin, the poopy bin. It's just, I read that and I just wanted to tear my hair out. You know, listening to her, I just want to stick a needle in my eye. It's just unbelievable. All right. We're going to go to a break. When we get back, we shall talk to Scott in Kempville. I appreciate your patience, Scott. Hang on through the break, and we'll get to you right as soon as we get back. 521-8255. It's the Sunnyside Nick Show. We'll be right back.
Can I take your order?
I'll have coffee, eggs, and hash browns.
You want a side order of Nick with that?
Yeah, I think I will.
Good Sunday morning, Ottawa. It's time to top up your Java and join the discussion on Sunnyside Nick. The numbers to call, 613-521-TALK. That's 521-8255. Toll free, 1-800-580-CFRA. Email nick@cfra.com. Well, it looks like your order's ready. Here's 580-CFRA's Nick.
All right. I just want to read a quick email from Michael before I get back to the phones. It says, "Hi, Nick. I just heard you say Mr. Kretschmann would not go to war unless it was sanctioned by the UN. That's not what he said. He said Canada will not go to war unless the UN says so. So let's be a little bit more accurate. I say bravo. We are not cowboys. I am sure you remember Mr. Bush's comment, if you're not with us, you're against us. The world has long passed by this world policeman attitude of Mr. Bush and his supporters. No matter whoever wins the U.S. election, the U.S. will never again go to war unless, of course, it is attacked without the U.N. support. So, Michael, you're saying that if the United States is attacked with U.N. support, that would be okay? I would also be interested in what you think of the latest polling trends. Slowly but surely, the liberals are gaining ground. There may not be enough days to actually win, but he could reduce the Tories to a minority. And maybe, just maybe, that will be enough to get rid of Mr. Harper. That's why we need to turn out in droves and vote. Because if Michael gets his way, and I'm talking about Michael the writer here, not Michael Ignatieff, him too, then we will end up with an unelected coalition, or accord. And they will totally throw out the results of the election and impose their will on us anyway. Not interested in that. All right. Dave, there you are. Just had to make sure I got the right guy. Hello, Dave. Good morning.
Yes, here I am. I'm just listening to the newscast while I'm listening to the show. And I find it nice that Mr. Ignatieff is complaining Harper's not doing very well because we didn't get that seat on the UN.
Yeah, I think bravo. We didn't want
who,
it.
Before the vote was even held, stood up and said we didn't even deserve it.
And now he's mad we didn't get it.
Yeah. We want to vote for that guy? Not me.
Well, the other thing I should point out to Michael is, if that's his attitude about, you know, when Canada goes to war, then what do we need a prime minister or a parliament for?
Oh, well, I just thought I'd point out, in case anybody had forgotten Mr. Ignatieff's remarks and is also high about it now, but we didn't even make it. Well, guess what?
He didn't want it in the first place.
He said we didn't deserve it.
That's the same thing.
He put down our country. He said we as a country didn't even deserve it. Thank you, Mr. Ignatieff.
You said all you needed to say.
Okay.
Thanks, David. Let's see. Scott in Kempville, if I can find the right line. Thank you for waiting. I appreciate your patience.
Good morning, Nick.
Good morning.
Well, if that fellow that sent the email about George Bush, considering the lack of leadership in the United States and the state of the world, because of that lack of leadership, I'd take Bush any day.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I wanted to, it's not why I called, but I was listening to that thing with Maria McRae. I really think that, A, she's a meathead, and B, we need term limits in government. It's just, A, it's very difficult to beat an incumbent. You know, Jan Harder, you guys, who's the fellow from Alta Vista, Peter Hume, you've been there too long. There comes a point they don't contribute anything other than their own popularity and to win the next election. It's very tough to beat these incumbents. They get their little fiefdom there, and they're in control. It's this woman, was she not the one that was still talking to Siemens after the plan had been cut by Larry?
Think so, yes.
Yes, exactly. She got a free ride from that, from the lazy media. These people, they don't, what the hell? Peter Hume, and you mentioned Wilkins. She was a mayor when I lived in Canada over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
They're past their prime.
Well, look at Norm Sterling in that whole situation.
Oh, God. Norm Sterling is not a conservative.
Now, let me ask you this, because I've been hoping to find a way to fit this in, because there's so much stuff on my plate today. This is important. The rumor is that Norm Sterling's going to run as an independent.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's assume, for the sake of this discussion, that he does that, and he wins. Okay? How long do you think it'll be before he crosses the floor and joins the PC party again?
You know, come on, two terms for everybody. Just two terms. So there's fresh blood out there. We don't need these old hacks, you know, that just drain the system and come up with stupid ideas or lack thereof. You're absolutely right. This has been talked about on CFR8 for years, ad nauseum, I might add. However, incinerate the bloody garbage and stop building these massive bureaucracies that cost a fortune and are impossible to manage. Because at the end of the line, it's all BS.
Absolutely. And that's why you couldn't have said it better, Scott. And I tell you, when I think about the kind of damage that Norm Sterling is doing to the PC party, trying to hang on past his best before
date. They don't care.
Well,
they
what does this
care.
Say about the nomination process? What does this say about democracy? Yeah. I mean, if he can run as an independent and then end up where he wanted to be in the first place, why bother with a nomination process?
Exactly. Exactly. Listen, I just wanted to talk. I know you've got people there waiting. Reference Gus and the F-35.
Yeah.
Countries are leaving the F-35 not because of the plane. They're leaving because they're cutting back their militaries. Look at Britain,
that's also
for God's
true.
Sakes. They just sold an aircraft carrier.
Do you know how much they cut their federal spending by?
Yeah, huge.
$135 billion.
Yeah. Well, they're in the tank.
Yeah.
It shows years of Labor government, how it can bankrupt.
Came home to roost.
Quite frankly, we will not buy Russian planes because we will never get the bloody parts. And if the Prime Minister and Peter McKay, whom I think is a wonderful Minister of Defense, if they think the F-35 is the way to go, then I'm willing to take it on. Let's see where we go. This is I can't see any other option. You mentioned the
Super Hornet.
The Super Hornet. Yeah, that's getting pretty old. That technology is, it's time to move on.
Yeah.
So they're not going to take 65. These things go back and forth. One thing I don't trust is that the Liberals got us into the F-35 program.
Yeah, I don't forget that either.
Yeah, and this is just a political move on Iggy's part to cast aspersions about the program, not giving a damn about the people in uniform, because you said it earlier, you must keep the procurement program active and current in the military. If you do what Kretchen did and cut it, you stall things by years. That process is so slow and so...
Look at the Sea King.
Oh, well, it's still flying.
That's my point. We're only now starting to replace them. When did Kretchen tear up that contract?
1990, when did he get elected? 93?
92, 93, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
But my point is this, Scott, and I know you have a passion for the military like I do, and I don't want another Sea King fiasco.
No.
I want to make sure that the aircraft that we, let's face it, you need every country, Canada, because of its size, needs a high-performance fighter. Why? Because it covers the most ground fastest, it projects power, and it can go in places where other aircraft simply can't go. And we need to have 65 is the very bare minimum. I'd like to see 165, but that's just my own opinion.
Yep.
But unless we're willing to spend some money and make sure that these guys get what they need, we're going to end up with them flying. You think the F-18's out of date now. What will it be 20 years from now?
Well, this is the danger of this, you see, because... If the coalition does get elected, that will be stopped. How much money have we... I mean, we spent, what did we spend in fines for the Cormorant? I think half a billion?
Half a billion, yeah.
Yeah, which seems like peanuts compared to what is being thrown around by Iggy. It was a billion a day last week.
Yeah, I know.
The reference this guy with the polls. Actually, the polls have been pretty consistent.
I know. I don't know what he's talking about, but that's not unusual for him.
I don't see the Liberals don't seem to be moving up anywhere, and I hope they stay right in the back of the pack, but... They'll go up and down. We've got debates coming up. I know the media says that everybody's going to... No. One thing I must say in this election, I have never seen such asinine and stupid reporting by CBC and CTV, I might add.
Well, did you hear Lunch Bunch on Friday?
Just a bit of it.
That was it Craig Oliver, Glenn McGregor, and myself, and they could not get their heads around the fact there's a problem with multiculturalism. And to me, that says everything. Scott, I got to stop you there.
Term limits for CTV, Craig. It's time to retire.
At least we're not paying his bill.
That's right.
To you later, Scott. All right, we'll be back with who's up next. Florence and then Mary. We'll get to you guys, everybody, as soon as we get back. 521-8255.
You're enjoying Sunnyside Nick on News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.
All right. Now, I'm going to get to Florence in just a second, but I want to share with you. You remember when we were talking about the green bin and how all of a sudden now they decide they want to go to biweekly garbage pickup? Well, here's a paragraph from a news article I found. It says the city anticipates it will save money by picking up the residual waste every 2 weeks, but first has to renegotiate with the collection companies. Notice there's no talk of public consultation in that paragraph. That paragraph is found in a piece called Ottawa Going Greener, written by Derek Potticombe for The Sun, September 17th, 2007, about 4.5 years ago. This is no surprise. They've been planning this all along. They're cutting core services, and the reason they're doing it is to make you use the green bin because it's a miserable failure. All right, with that said, let's go and relieve Florence of the hold. Morning, Florence. Thank you for your patience.
Yes, oh, not at all. I'm really calling you because I was so thrilled with your opening statements today. I thought they were magnificent and absolutely right on. And I just wanted to tell you an instance. I don't know if it's on CTV in your area, but it was here, a commentator on the CTV News Hour, and he was denouncing Harper for his handler's treatment of the two who were ejected from a rally. And it wasn't his handlers. It was the RCMP who were his required security because
right.
he is the prime minister.
Yes, he is.
And it's those kind of lies. And one other thing I'll mention, I was in Poland on a student exchange when it was still under the Russian dominance.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that in Poland it suffered so horrendously during the war. You would think that the people they would despise the most would be the Nazis and the Russians. But it wasn't. It was the leftist media that was took hold of Poland and went under the Russian occupation after the war. And I think that's quite accurate. When you think of what propaganda did to the German people, sophisticated, educated people, and they fell for all that stuff. And it's I'm not going to let it go, that commentator who denounced Harper for his handler's behavior, because it wasn't the RCMP. And I'm going to call the station. I'm going to see if I can get in touch with him and tell him that when they do that, a conspicuous lie, when the truth is fully documented, that how much contempt they bring on the media and how much credibility they don't seem to understand what they say about themselves.
Well, what it does is just paints members of the media like snake oil salesmen.
Yes, I'm so thankful for CFRA. It's like the talk radio in the States. It's getting the truth out to the people. And I wish that the media would understand the contempt that they're building up for themselves. You never hear anyone say, I trust the media, or I respect them, or I believe they're telling the truth. And they don't seem to understand how thoroughly they are destroying their credibility every day. I was thrilled with the comments of some of your callers who are so alive and aware of what's going on. And if I can make one more statement,
sure.
Nick, there was a few years ago, a U.S., I think he was a retired admiral, who was to be a candidate, I think, for the vice presidency, and he let the whole process go forward until he knew he had the national media podium. And he got up and he laid out in lavender the leftist elements in the media. And he said, your mission, obviously, is not to tell the truth to the American people. He said, you're on a search and destroy mission. And he said, I will not let you do that to me, and I will not let you do that to my family. He said, you are responsible for keeping good people out of serving their country, people, you know, who want to serve their country by serving in politics and are willing to live the difficult life. And he said, it's you who, on your search and destroy mission of honest people, who are responsible for this.
And I think he's absolutely right in a lot of cases. Thanks for your call, Florence.
Thank you, Nick.
All right. Let's go talk to Mary. She's been waiting a long time, too. There she is. Good morning, Mary.
I'd like to vent about my hydro bill.
You go right ahead. This is Venting Central.
I got dinged twice for HST. Twice.
Twice?
Twice.
How come just twice?
You tell me.
You're talking on the same bill?
On the same bill.
Okay, now I understand it. I'm thinking, how come I get dinged all the time? She only gets dinged twice. Anyway, go ahead.
And besides, this a green bin ditty is such full of prunes, it isn't funny.
This is embarrassing. Like...
And if you are an older adult and have to use diapers because your parts have disintegrated.
That's right.
I think it's disgraceful that they're making you expose yourself and embarrassing yourself. They should remember, you're going to be in that boat one day too.
That'll never happen to them. Come on, Mary. They don't get old. I'm kidding.
And on top of that, this of having green bin garbage picked up everything because they had made a bum contract signing is not the only. There's only one taxpayer, and that's us. And they don't take care of those green bin boxes. The garbage guys, they're so darn rough with them, it isn't funny. So if you think that this green bin and how they're proposing to decrease our core services is strictly for the birds, it is the liberal mayor and the provincial and the federal liberal leader. He is full of so much prunes, it isn't funny. I'm sorry, but
that's a good... No, Mary, there's nothing wrong. Like, I'm glad you're calling and expressing in any way you can your outrage about this, because, look, the answer is so obvious. There's such an easy, economical way to do this. Just incinerate it all. There's no reason to recycle a thing, because incineration really is 100% recycling.
Mm-hmm.
So I share your frustration.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
All right, let's go and talk to Guy. Hello, Guy. Good morning. Thank you for waiting.
Good. A couple of defense points in regards to the city of Ottawa and their handling of the garbage, if I may.
Please, go right ahead.
We cannot get an incinerator license until we divert a certain amount of garbage from the landfills.
That's not true.
I'm not saying it's got a full circle to it.
Okay.
And basically, with the green bin contract that we all know, the 20-year, another boondoggle, might cost us $80 million to get out of. There's no way that we are going to cancel the green bin. So basically, this whole consultation and the reduction, if you look at Durham and Haltom and all these others, the one big mistake that the city of Ottawa made was the minute they introduced the green bin, they should have changed garbage at the same point, because then people saw it as a change and not a reduction. And, you know, to the city's defense, it's not a reduction in garbage service. It's just changing the way we get rid of our garbage, which is what people don't like. And, Nick, I got to tell you, the city of Ottawa didn't do themselves any favors when they launched that $400,000 campaign that had a bunch of kids saying thank you on the TV. I got more information out of the Citizen and the Sun since this whole issue's come up over the past week on exactly what I can do, where I have to throw it, how styrofoam is still very evil, it doesn't go anywhere. And you know what? The green bin, to me, since it's been introduced, since we adopted it, is taking a lot of the garbage. So it's, you know, there's the amount of people that didn't show up at those consultations and the amount of people that did show up at OC Transpo, I think is a clear indication on where people who depend on OC Transpo had to hear their voice heard, but nobody really cared about garbage. But the city didn't do themselves any favors, and they should have looked to other municipalities on how they rolled it out. But this whole election year bull about we couldn't do it because it was an election year, it's just unfortunate the rollout was so
Well, you're right about the rollout. It was a disaster. But let me answer you on a couple of things. For one thing, we could have an incinerator up and running inside 2 years.
No, we can't. We can't get a license from the Ministry of the Environment.
Guy, let me finish.
Okay, straight my bye, Nick.
If you call it a pilot project, you can have the permit within days.
Which we have. We have an incinerator already at Trail Road.
That is unproven.
Right.
But what's wrong? Look, let's face it. And it's nothing against Mr. Bryden. I commend him for his work and his efforts in this field. But to date, he's been unsuccessful.
To your argument, how do we even justify an incinerator when we can't get people to separate plastics?
You wouldn't have to.
No.
You don't have to. This is my point. You'd burn it all. There's no reason to run any kind of recycling program other than incineration.
But we're on the hook for the Orger World Source Organics contract.
Well, you know what?
We put ourselves in a corner there.
Okay, I understand that. Listen, let me continue this conversation on the other side of the break, because I got to take it. But I want to finish this up, because there's a lot here, and there's a lot I really have a problem with Orger World. No, we'll get into that.
Where's Jim?
That's a good question. Where the heck is Jumpin' Jim? Good question. Glad you mentioned it. You stay right there. We'll be right back and maybe answer that question, too, on the Sunnyside Nick Show, 521-8255.
Over easy, but not too soft. Sunnyside Nick on News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.
All right. Let's get back to Guy. He's right there. All right, Guy, welcome back. Thanks for waiting.
Morning, Nick.
Okay. The whole idea behind incineration, first of all, we recycle. One of the reasons for the recycling program is to divert garbage away from the dump. The problem with it is it doesn't work. It puts more trucks on the road. It uses more energy than it saves. And you still end up with a lot of garbage in the dump, because most of the plastics aren't recycled anyway. They end up in the dump. So all these things now to deal with Orger World.
But we are reducing the trucks now, because we're going to have one truck doing two things. So I want to clarify that argument.
All right, but if you go with the diaper pickup and you go with all this other stuff, like how many boxes are there into your driveway now?
Well, for us, very few, because everything goes in the green bin, and we've got one bag of garbage that can easily be put in the garbage once every 2 weeks, because all the source organics and anything that's going to cause vermin or maggot goes out every week.
So can
it's
we
be a no-brainer.
Under incineration, you'd only need one, because you
I
put
agree.
Everything in
and
it.
And that's where we have to go.
Precisely.
But the road to incineration is exactly that. We have to, people, I have four or five neighbors, they don't even use the green bin. We have to get the tonnage up, and we're going to pay. We're paying for it anyway, so people use it.
Well, here's the other thing, that you're going to pay for it far more than you know, and here's why.
And that contract,
yes, I agree. We should have a forensic audit of that contract
and
explore what it would cost to get out of it. Because I understand contracts are very hard to get out of, and that's a good thing generally. But the bottom line is, when you look at it from both ends, from the money that Orgaworld gains, takes in for handling this stuff. On one hand, they get about $100 a ton, roughly, from the city, to take it as tippage fees, and they sell it on the other end for $16 a ton to people who want to buy the stuff. Okay, so the most they're going to make on it is $116 a ton, but the process to change it from diapers and all that other stuff into compostable material or fertilizer on the other end runs you $300 to $400 a ton. So who's paying the difference?
The diapers take down the grade of compostables. That's why they want to keep the diapers out.
All right, fine. Let's take the diapers out of it.
To your point, let's go to the Orgaworld contract. When Sue Schering asked and investigated who did the contract, what was the due diligence that went through it? Did counselors actually read it? There is a really big problem that I have that
did
a lot of them
realize?
Didn't even read it. But here's the key thing. All the people that are responsible for the Orgaworld contract are no longer with the City of Ottawa. That's what Sue Schering had said. She says, I can't find anybody who's still, because everybody deferred. Oh, that person's no longer here. That person's no longer here. So that smells to me right away.
Yeah, it does.
But you know what? Go ahead, Nick.
Okay, let me make one more comment, and then I got to move on because I've got other people who've been on hold a while too. But the bottom line is that there is an avenue open to people if their counselors misbehave. You can actually sue your counselor, the mayor, under what's called a tort. That under the section 448.2 of the Ontario Municipal Act, you can personally sue them, not as an elected official, not as a city at large, but as an individual, you can sue them if, as an example, they have, let's say the mayor doesn't make sure the budget includes enough money in it for road repair.
Yeah.
Okay, and your car is damaged, you can go after them for that.
We spend enough on legal fees already.
No, but my point is, if you do that once or twice, and you say, look, you no more of this, no reading stuff, and then just signing it, because that's the root of the problem.
The way to go is to get an audit and to start making our Auditor General, Alain Lalonde, who himself is in the news these days for the wrong reasons. You know, the whole mentality and attitude down there, from what I see on a day-to-day basis, a lot of people are trying to do a really good job, but there's unfortunately this mentality and this big union that hangs over the city that basically controls everything that happens in the city.
Well, you got that right, and I think it's about time that we started to sit up and pay attention to what these people do. And I know it's hard to do because everybody's busy, but I'll tell you what, if we don't, the metered water is just going to be the beginning, not the end.
But, you know, Nick, and a final point to that, as far as the garbage adoption goes, we're paying for this. Try and separate things. You'll find out how much easier it is when you use the green bin. I just wish the city wouldn't have spent $400,000 on kids saying thank you when, sure enough, we're not even meeting a quarter of our targets and we have to throw least waste in to get it up.
Well, the truth is we'll never hit 80,000 tons. We'll never get anywhere near it. But
so
I appreciate.
Let's start.
All right. Thanks, Guy.
Bye.
All right. Let me go and talk to George in Ironprior. Good morning, George.
Oh, nice sunny day. I should be outside.
Well, I will be shortly.
Okay. Have you been in the garbage lottery?
The garbage lottery.
Remember you get your yard waste, you put it in these brown paper bags?
No, where I live, we have another method of dealing with that stuff.
No. But the people, now, you're in the lottery because you have to decide, is it going to rain that day?
Okay, George, get to the point. What's your point this morning?
Well, if it rains, do those bags become soggy? Because it says water resistant on the outside, but they seem to be sort of water resistant, but are they water resistant from rain?
Well, unless it's a downpour, I don't see it being a real problem between the time they put them out and the time the city picks them up.
Yeah, but you've got to get up for that time.
Yeah, you do.
Yep. And another problem, you're talking about all this water stuff.
Yeah.
You haven't even hardly touched the surface of it.
Oh, my God. I only got 2 hours.
Get down by Windsor.
Oh, listen. The whole thing, George, for me to do justice to all the topics that are on the table today, I'd need 6 hours.
Down by Windsor alone, they cap and do everything. They even have the greenhouses down there, those ones that last all winter.
Yeah, I know them. I grew up down there.
The groundwater was starting to turn blue from the runoff from the hydroponics.
Look, there are all kinds of problems down there everywhere, no
and
matter where you
come up here. Anytime they pass a place that's being sold or anything, they'll nail any well that's there, put a cap on, and put a GPS immediately.
Yeah, well, they have to by provincial legislation.
But they won't let you use the well.
Well, you know what, George? This is why people need their land grants, because they have no business putting a GPS on a well you pay for, and they certainly have no business telling you to pay for the water after you put the well in.
You tell us we got rights, Ray.
You're darn right you do.
Okay. You go to your business, you go to work, the first check you get, you find these 7500, you get 30% rights because you just took in taxes.
Well, there are ways to get them back, George. Listen,
rights I don't even think exist in this country. You take what you get.
No, we have them, but if we don't use them.
No, you don't.
Yeah, yes, we do, George.
You haven't had them for since the 1940s.
Well, appreciate your call, George. Thank you. To say that I disagree is to put it mildly, but I don't have time to get into it. Let's go talk to Shirley, Lion 4. Thank you for waiting, Shirley. Appreciate it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I would suggest to every resident in the city of Ottawa today to go out and buy a citizen. I normally never push the citizen because, but today it's worth it. Just to read Randall Denley's column, Where's Jim? Well, guess what? He sure as hell isn't at a strawberry social because it's too soon in the season. He might be at a tea party in the West End with some little old ladies with their I Love Jimmy T-shirts on. But anyways, this is we'll go to the OC Transpo. And Randall's wondering why Jimmy isn't speaking up about the OC Transpo situation and the green bin situation, that he's got his two favorite ladies on the deal, Diane Deans and Maria McRae. And he says in an interview, Watson says that he has addressed the controversies in a couple of speeches, but the media hasn't covered it.
What?
But if you believe that.
No, I don't believe that.
In the Tooth Fairy.
Right.
And believe me, I know who the Tooth Fairy was. It's called Princess Fairy.
That's right.
But nonetheless, I want to go to the green bin thing. First of all, it's kind of insulting to the residents of this city. Like, you know what? They must think we have stupid on our foreheads. This became a pilot project under Bob Chiarelli in the year 2001. Okay? Now, in today's paper, it says, no time to waste for the city's trash talk. This is going to committee tomorrow and will be voted on Wednesday. No time to waste. We've put 10 years of total waste of time and money into this boondoggle project. Now, I will tell you, I am so insulted. On January the 13th, and there is a video on CTV if anybody wants to do a little bit of work, Maria McRae, her exact words, and Peter Hume expresses them in the video on CTV. Just Google, go back in the archives. She says this is an admissible disgrace. This whole green bin thing is just a total disgrace, and we must look into it. Now, that's 3 months ago. It was a total disgrace. The whole program.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to the video. Then, on Thursday, she's out in the garbage dump with construction boots on, with crap up to her ankles. Her and a very high-paid city official, Dixon Weir. So what happened from January, when it was a total disgrace, to her picking through the garbage? Oh, here's a pop can. Here's a bite. Oh, and I tell you, the most insulting one of them all is Dixon Weir picks up a peanut butter container with a paper wrapper.
Yeah, and he ripped it.
Oh, my God.
You know what? The whole thing is disgusting because,
first of all, it's insulting.
It is.
Not disgusting. It's insulting to the people of the city of Ottawa. This pilot project came out with 5,300 a pilot project in only 3 wards. It's such a damn wonderful thing. Well, why did it take not even 10 years? Because it's not going to get implemented, I think, until actually January of next year. So what's went wrong? Like, there's something that stinks beside the green bins. And then she, on television the other night, she insults people saying, well, you know what? If you just wrap everything in newspapers, even if it's 90 degrees out there, you won't get maggots, you won't get rats, you won't get mites. I mean, you know, it's time for these people to stop degrading the people who pay their salaries intelligent. This is a total disgrace. But you know what? Most of all, read all the stories in this papers about the OC Transpo and the people that it's going to affect. Blind people, innocent kids going to work after school, teenagers, the elderly who won't even get a chance to go out maybe to an evening dinner because they're going to park and ride. You know, that's not a park and ride your car. That's a park and ride the buses for 3-4 hours in the evening that they're going to be stranded out there, because I know many of the bus drivers who are not going to go back. Park it at 11 and go back at 7 and park it at, come back at 11 to pick you or me or your grandchildren or anybody else up in the street corners. It's a crime waiting to happen.
Shirley, got to stop you there. Appreciate your call.
Thanks. Yep.
All right, Rick in Hindenburg, you'll be up next. 521-8255. We'll be right back with more.
You're enjoying Sunnyside Nick on News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.
All right, let's get right back to the phones. Where are you, Rick? There you are. Welcome to the Sunnyside Nick Show.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Shirley from Air.
Dude, want to talk about people with character and color. Holy cow.
Exactly. But listen, Nick, you and I seldom agree on things, but I heard your lunch bunch on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had to call to support you.
Well, thank you.
And I think that the two guests that you had on don't understand the difference between multiracial and multicultural. And that there's a huge difference. I know from personal experience, I know where I grew up, we had virtually every nationality and race you could think of.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't have multiculturalism. We all learned from each other.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they just can't get their heads around that.
Well, they're living in 1974 Trudeau era.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I wasn't trying to be disparaging, but the bottom line is multiculturalism has failed everywhere it's tried. And I'm talking about enforced multiculturalism.
Yeah.
And it started, the failure began when we allowed a Sikh to demand that he would change the Mountie's uniform so he could wear his turban rather than the traditional Mountie's headgear. And when that happened, we opened the Pandora's box.
Well, you know, there's a very simple way to solve this problem, and that is simply to stop all government funding of these various cultural organizations. And if you stop that, and I know because, you know, I come from immigrant parents myself.
Well, we all do at some point.
Yeah, at some point. But, I mean, this is in my memory.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they wanted to have anything to do culturally, they dug in their own pocket, they rented a hall, they put on a do or a play or whatever, and the government was not involved.
Well, you want to know where the best example of this I can think of right off the top of my head? It's out in Combermere. The Cashew Poles out there have a huge community. They're very cultured. They celebrate their culture. There's a lot of positive things that they bring to the community. And to the best of my knowledge, they don't get one dime from any level of government. They just do it. And that's the way it's always been done in this country until Trudeau came along.
And that's true. And through natural osmosis, your second and third generation are going to be less and less cultural and become Canadian. And becoming Canadian means a blending of all the various groups, not to support them individually. You know, they bring all that hatred and everything else that they've got going on, they bring it and they practice it here.
Well, this is my point. I was trying to make my point with my lunch bunch guest. Are you telling me the culture that spawns the Tamil Tigers is equal to ours? Are you telling me that Sharia culture is equal to ours? I mean, this idea that all cultures are equal is insane.
Of course it is. Anyway, as I say, we don't often agree, but I had to support you on that one.
Well, I'm glad you did. It's nice to know we agree on at least one thing.
Yeah. The other thing is the baseball stadium.
Yes.
Now, from what I've been reading, the management, city management, have already drawn up plans to do away with it. I mean, how ridiculous can you get? First of all, the city built the stadium. It's a beautiful little park. When they brought the Lynx in, and the Lynx had a couple of really great years, and then, of course, as happens, you know, they had a couple of rough years, but they could have rolled that out, got a winning team, and brought the crowds back. But, oh, no, the city takes half of the parking and sells it to Canadian Tire.
Yeah, well, Rick, I got to let you go, but you know what? This is just another classic example of short-sighted thinking from one election cycle to another.
Exactly.
Thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Bob in Ottawa West. Morning, Bob.
Good morning. Hello?
You're there. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I was on a walk this week, and I happened to do a double take on the headlines of the Sun, and I've not heard it reported anywhere else. Has anyone else other than me noticed the price of energy lately in terms of driving our cars?
Yeah, it has gone up dramatically.
Okay, there's that. Put that with your hydro and your gas
and your water
and everything. And under the headline, it's something that you don't hear anymore, but it's still there, the carbon tax.
You know, it's funny. There's so much stuff. This stuff gets buried. But make no mistake, Mr. Ignacio will bring us back the carbon tax, too.
We're going to get it again, and they have no concern. They do not give a darn about anything. They will have us bankrupt, totally.
Well, that's, you know what, and they all do it for all the best reasons. We care about you. We love you. We want you to live in a clean world. Yeah, with no heat and no lights and not able to drive
anywhere.
Is
there anything in this budget plans of his about the carbon tax? Because it is there. It did not go away. These people do not forget things. It's like this green bin for 10 years. They do not let things go.
Oh, no. Liberals / socialists, they don't understand the word defeat. You might beat them now, but they'll come back in a couple of weeks with it repackaged and try it again in another little way, and hopefully you won't notice it this time.
And for anybody in the city of Ottawa who has a few 3 minutes, take a look at your phone book. And look at in the back about the governments. Now you go through the municipal, the federal, and the provincial, and you go through them all, and you will see not duplication, what I would call triplication of services.
You just look at that and ask yourself, where can we make those cuts, Bob?
Do we make these cuts?
Yep.
And in addition to that, just for fun, let's try and put a finger on how much we're paying for bilingualism these days
City. That's another pet peeve.
And they're talking, Nick, about all these millions that are going to be saved by this green bin hoax.
Yeah, it's a joke.
How bankrupt are we? And if we are, leave core services alone and go through the phone book and let's eliminate the triplication here.
Sound advice. Thanks for the call. Tim on your cell phone. Hello, Tim.
G'day, Nick.
Hi.
To your point on incineration, I think one of the main stumbling blocks in incineration is the fact that the city, in their wisdom over the years, has built a huge infrastructure and a huge bureaucracy around the recycling industry.
Yeah, you're right.
If you make it simple and just go to incineration, it means a lot of jobs will be lost.
Tim, you're absolutely right. This is one of the reasons why they resist it, because it's going to cost union jobs and they'll never support it.
That's right.
But that doesn't mean that we can't start screaming and hollering and demanding.
Oh, for sure.
Because the only thing that politicians are more fearful of than the unions are the voters, because they like to get reelected.
Yeah, well, we will never use the green bin. We're recycling compost long before the city of Ottawa ever even dreamt of it. We're out in the rural area. I know of family and friends who live in town who didn't need the green bin, that were composting their garbage, using it on gardens, whatever.
Well, they make a great beer cooler beverage cooler.
Yeah,
Tim, I got to stop you there.
I pay for it.
Yeah, you do. Got to stop you there. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. All right, I'm over time. I should have been gone a few seconds ago. Thank you all very much. Ubiquiti toss at him or day CBS. Good morning. God bless. Don't let anything disturb your peace, and may you have a fair wind and a following sea.